Psalm chapter 85, verse 11 says, "Truth springs up from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven." When the Son of God took on human flesh, the world experienced a flash of light that would forever change the course of human history. C.S. Lewis has rightfully argued that the incarnation is the central Christian miracle. It's the defining characteristic of the Christian faith. Every other miracle in Scripture prepares the way for this miracle. It exhibits this miracle, or it flows from this miracle. And miracles are not random interferences in nature. They're steps in a coherent invasion plan. It's God's campaign to reclaim and occupy and fill his creation. You cannot discuss other miracles apart from this one. It's that important. It is the grand miracle, as Lewis called it. And it is grand because it is paramount. On Christmas Day, the eternal day was born on a single day. The Son of God, who exists outside of time, entered time. Eternally begotten of the Father and not made, he had no heavenly mother. Yet he became an embryo in the womb of the Virgin without an earthly father. As the eternal day who emanates endless light, the Son was conceived in the darkness of the womb. As the Son of God, he has no beginning or end. And as the Son of Man, he took on flesh in one place and at one time. And later, the timeless one would die. The Son of God was formed in the very womb he himself had created. He who makes his home in heaven came and made his home on earth so that those who are his might have a home in heaven. As Lord of all, he became a slave of all so that all the slaves of Christ might reign with Christ. Mary sprang from Adam, and Adam was formed from the earth. Now Jesus comes from Adam through Mary, and truth springs up from the earth, says the psalmist. The powerful Word who spoke all things into existence became as a cooing infant without speech. And yet in time, he would open the ears of the deaf and loosen the tongues of the mute. Possessing unending riches, he became poor so that we might become rich in him. From the heights of heaven to the lowliness of the Virgin, the Son of God stooped low to find us and deliver us. And yet Christmas ought not to be reduced to sentimentality. We do not celebrate the birth of Christ merely because of tradition. The incarnation is political dynamite, we might say, the very kind that sent Herod into a frenzy. Christmas is not about being nice, it's about being biblical. It is not a story of warm, fuzzy feelings. It is a story of God's battle plan against all that seeks to usurp him. It is the story of God refusing certain things and gifting other things. Contrary to the popular notions that pass for rational thinking today, Christmas means that God cares about the material world. And I pray you enjoy those material things tomorrow morning. He cares about what we do with our bodies. He took one on himself. Christmas means that truth, when planted in the earth like a seed, springs forth into a harvest of righteousness and glory. And that said, I have three simple points to make this evening. First, Christmas is unsuited to our world. Christmas is unsuited to our world. As it stands, the world, apart from Christ, wants nothing to do with the light as it is busy delighting in darkness. As Chesterton observed, it contradicts modern thought, he says. Christmas contradicts modern thought because it will not give an inch. Christmas will not budge while sinners attempt to force it into their own selfish ways. Christmas is powerless if all one asks Jesus to do is to affirm idols and sanction further transgression. Unmoored from its foundations, the modern world today is adrift ever-changing, ever-moving away from the worship of God, drifting into the ocean of autonomy. If you want Christmas to rubber stamp your sin, you will be sorely disappointed. The world craves the shiny, the largest, and the most popular. And if that is what you are after, you will not find it at Christmas. The birth of Jesus Christ is completely out of step with modern sensibilities because men today want to worship themselves. Christmas is unsuited for our world because men would rather continue in their sins than be told to abandon their idolatry. Number two, Christmas is an act of defiance. It's an act of defiance. Since the world would much rather be left to its own rebellious devices, Christmas finds itself in a precarious situation. But the Lord of glory will not leave the world to be ruled by Satan, sin, and death. Therefore, God, our Heavenly Father, sent his beloved Son to defy the wishes of that unholy Trinity. God does not permit Satan to have the final word. He does not allow sin and death to rule and reign. A world like that would be, quote, always winter, but never Christmas, as Lewis wrote in the Chronicles of Narnia. Cold, with no warmth to be found. Dark, with no light to see. Christmas is an act of defiance because Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, has come to confront the disorderly, the mundane, and the sinful. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the one who was proclaimed Lord at thy birth, has come into the world to defy sinful men and their obstreperous rage. And we still need this defiance today. In many ways, Christmas has lost its vigor. Liberal so-called Christians question the virgin birth. Meanwhile, postmoderns question whether anything can be known at all. To celebrate the birth of Christ is therefore, in our time, in this moment, an act of defiance and good. Good. The world crucified the Messiah. It can now reckon with the risen Lord. Third, Christmas is a declaration of war. By sending his only Son, God declared war on Satan, sin, and death. It was a warning shot fired at would-be tyrants and despots. The coming of God in the flesh was the announcement that those who are dead in Adam would no longer be permitted to remain in their graves. In sending the Son, God has given sin and death no quarter. He ripped out their teeth and smashed them in victory. You can run, but you cannot hide. The risen King intends to remake the world all over again. And there is nothing that Satan can do. There is nothing that sin can do. There is nothing that death can do. Our God is alive and well. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Christ was born in a godless world, a world marked by violence, a world marked by vengeance, a world of paranoid Herods and religiously self-important Pharisees. Christmas reminds us that God is not finished with his creation, and he is not finished with us. By sending his Son, born to sleep in a wooden feeding trough and born to die on a wooden cross, God has declared, "Vengeance is mine." He has broken the power of Satan, sin, and death. The death and resurrection of the God-man stands as the great victory of God in a world marred by unbelief. Christmas is the reminder, dear friends, that God is with us. And when God is with us, he is for us. Who then can be against us? And amen.